This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Daryl, today is LSU tight end Mason Taylor Day in Berea. You might not know this. Me likey quite a bit. And he is the scion of Akron legend Jason Taylor and Miami legend Joy Taylor. He'll visit the Browns today in Berea. Outside of quarterback is tight end, the most guaranteed position for the Browns to take in the draft.
I was going to say running back guaranteed, but I am willing to meet you halfway and say both are guaranteed.
Little bit of a hedge bet there. We don't do that on this show, but I'll allow it.
They're taking all three. They're going to take a quarterback, they're going to take a tight end, and they're going to take a running back, book it.
All right. So if we're just going to have all the positions, defensive tackle.
They've got 10 picks.
I know. Defensive tackle relatively early too.
Safety.
Yeah. So, well,
offensive line.
It's not okay, now you're killing the bit. No, I do think I think people are sleeping on maybe the ability to add not just one. If this is not a two quarterback draft, I would not hate if you took a running back and a tight end early, and then a running back and a tight end late. I'm obsessed with Jim Lachey's kid, the kid out of Iowa. I know there's some questions about his movement, guys. He played in Iowa. How can you tell how good of an athlete he was playing in that system? That's why George Kittle was a fifth round pick. I really think Mason Taylor, though. Initially, I thought you can get him at 67. You might have to take him at 33. Worth it all the way. I think the kid can be a star in the NFL.
Omaha!
Well, you know, in case you missed it, and judging by how you opened the show today, you did. The Masters had a spectacular finish.
That was his?
Rory McIlroy almost needed the Heimlich maneuver because...
Did you say it in the traditional Gaelic pronunciation?
Yes, I tried to.
Rory McIlroy.
He almost choked away the Masters, but was able to, I guess by a putt, survive.
Look at the long shadows, symbolic. This moment, the journey it's taken to get here, for all this history.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
There you go. Jim Nance on CBS with the historic call. Rory gets to put on the green jacket after almost giving it away.
Man, that sounds like it was fun. So
you have to appreciate the drama.
Yeah, no. This is sports talk to me in a nutshell of guys who have not watched golf outside of the Masters and who their watching of the Masters is watching Sunday. And then they parachute in the next day in sports talk and they're like, let me tell you this. I've been saying for a while that it was Rory McIlroy and it was going to be his year. It was due. That's a real. It's due. And I'm a little gun shy. Listen to a lot of our friends in sports talk today, and a lot of them spent a lot of time talking about Rory McIlroy when they have not spent. They spent more time talking golf and Rory McIlroy today than they have the previous 8 months on whatever respective shows are. But good job, Rory. You got it done. Good job, Slugger.
Omaha!
Angel Martinez had a big return to the Gardos this weekend. 5 hits, 3 ribbies in 10 at-bats. I know that I am all aboard the Angel train well before this weekend. any idea that maybe we just keep Angel in center field, or do you use him as a roving utility player?
Knowing the way Steven Vogt operates, I bet they're going to use him as a roving utility player. However, what is wrong with me today? I'm agreeing with you way too much. I love the idea of having him become an everyday center fielder.
Got a better arm than Lane.
Yes, he does.
And I just don't I don't think Angel is going to be a platoon player. I think Lane might just be. You can't come alive for roughly 6 weeks. He was great in the playoffs too. I like Lane as a player, but in this lineup, I might feel better about the kid that can that's got a hell of a bat and might actually have a real upside in center field long term, and just putting Lane Thomas with Nolan Jones in right field. I know that feels wildly premature, so maybe you give it a while. I know Lane's got a wrist injury right now, but here's the thing. The biggest question with Angel has not been can he hit. It'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's can he actually stick in center field? And what we saw over the weekend was a lot of really good defense. Last year when I watched him in center field, he looked like a shortstop, second baseman playing center field. The break on the ball, it looked so much more natural defensively over the weekend. Still not perfect. It looked so much more naturally. And his arm versus Lane, those are two different arms. The one has a legit center field arm. The other guy's playing center field because you haven't had a guy to play there previously.
Omaha!
Who doesn't love old school versus new school, right? And just grumpy old former NBA players. Well, we'd like to welcome Isaiah Thomas to the program. Apparently, this is the first time ever that he has seen LeBron James do what LeBron tends to do often, and that is warm up for a game, shooting the basketball shirtless in an NBA arena before they open the doors.
Just
well,
like
apparently,
me.
It was enough to bother Isaiah's sensibilities.
I just totally 100% object to this, and if I was the GM or coach,
me too.
I would never let one of my players walk out on the floor looking like this. I mean, we are a professional NBA league.
The
we
audio
summer league.
Yeah, the audio courtesy of NBA TV there. Like, what are we doing?
You were done listening to that, apparently.
Yeah, I was. What are we doing? Like, this LeBron's done this all the time, Nick. Come on.
My favorite thing about this is Isaiah talking about, if I was a head coach, Zeke, you forget what your players were accused of when you were the head coach and GM? Yeah, you know, my players would balloon to 400 pounds like Eddie Curry or get caught in real bad lawsuits with women that work the organization. You're right, Zeke. They would not go shirtless onto that court, though.
these kids today, you got to really reel them in, you know?
I'm so much about don't cast a stone if you live in a glass house yourself, which is the just dumbest way to say the glass house thing. But the point is, Zeke just has no position to talk. You know what they should do? LeBron should go out there and take a 9-iron to somebody's knee like it's 1985. That's professionalism, if you ask me.
Self-awareness, not exactly Isaiah's wheelhouse.
Omaha!
Sticking to the NBA, LeBron and Steph Curry's decade-plus streak of trading the top-selling NBA jersey has ended. The new top jersey seller, Luka Doncic. Luka was eighth in jersey sales when he was a Maverick and then traded to the Lakers. He bridged the gap and more so the final 2 months of the season. Am I allowed to point out that this strengthens the case of conspiracy talk that the NBA desperately wanted to help grease the skids of Luka to L.A., even if I'm only like 81% in on the idea?
This is painful for me today. I love the idea.
Man, we might just shut the rest of this week down. Because there's just so many W's for me.
You're out here eating W's today.
And other things. Now, this is just, listen, I think we've got enough. The David Stern thing has always kind of flown contrary to this. The league absolutely should have stopped Luka Doncic being traded to L.A. They didn't want to, because Luka in L.A. is far more box office for them than Luka in Dallas. Now, Do I also want to point out that Mark Cuban was supposed to still be running the franchise after selling it to Dumont's? And then the NBA killed that language? Because I'll be honest, if Mark Cuban was there, Luka would still be a Dallas Maverick. Oh, should I also point out that Nico Harrison, the GM, never really wanted to be a GM in the first place, according to a lot of reports, and is a Nike guy. Where does Nike want their biggest star? Can I just point out all the very, very big points of maybe happenstance that have led Luka to be in LA Laker and now being the first Euro to ever have the highest selling jersey in a single season in NBA history?
The video of Mark Cuban's face in his hands during the fire Nico chants the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless.
Yeah, he's also a problem.
Omaha!
Got to switch it up to football real quick before we go back to the NBA. We love Netflix documentaries, do we not? Well,
no.
We don't?
No.
Not a fan of the Netflix documentary, huh?
No.
Well, you might like this one. Netflix apparently is planning on doing a tell-all documentary on all the bad stuff Brett Favre has done over the years.
Mm.
I think I will be tuning in for that. I don't know about you, but I definitely will.
I want a full, and I mean, maybe like an average part of the series to be based off just pictures of himself he sent to people. Can I get that?
No, we don't want that. No, I believe
that's exactly. I mean, the welfare embezzling, that has its place in the documentary. I just would like to see, we maybe just line up people. They could just tell their story in like a line of, and then Brett sent me his, whatever.
They're calling this The Fall of Favre. And it's the latest installment in their Untold series. And it will, hit the streaming platform on May 20th. So mark your calendars.
My only problem is, I think, are they just going to pull the punches like they did in the Johnny Manziel one?
Well, where they only told one side of the story?
Where it felt like the Manziel family had controlled the documentary, because if that's what it's going to be, I'm not all that interested in it.
We really needed some Ray Farmer in that. We really needed some, Haslam's in that. We needed a little more. We needed the homeless guy in it.
We needed, Cleveland bartenders in it. We need different Instagram thoughts in it. That one lacked a lot of
bouncers.
Depth to it.
Needed some bouncers in
bouncers
it, too.
Bouncers to it. And maybe a couple teammates, ones that didn't think he was a good dude. And then, of course, so as long as they avoid that fate, I'll give it a chance. But if they even sugarcoat it even a little bit, then you are going to hear how much I don't like Netflix documentaries there. Carlos Boozer, former Cavalier. You guys remember that, judging by the Twitter comments. Former NBA player and also NBA analyst joining us in 5 minutes. We'll talk the Cavs' readiness for the playoffs with the Booze Cruise Missile in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.